My message today is ministry of relieving the financial burdens of needy members. And the text is found in Acts chapter 4, verse 32 to 35. Acts 4, 32 to 35. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that ought that any of the things which he possessed was his own, but that they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. Last week, I spoke to you on the ministry of relieving the pain of suffering in connection with the good work that is being done in Maasai land by our three missionaries, Chan Pui Ming, Mok, and Carol. And I referred to the opening of the clinic by me in September according to their request. When I arrived to open the clinic had already been in function. One day was given to the outsiders. As many as 40 were treated in one day. Among the 40, there was one man who had a swollen arm, twice the size. And it happened that Dr. Patrick Tan, who's the founder of the mission, was there. What better to have a doctor at that time? One small cut by his knife released 250 cc's of pus and bad blood. Immediately, the man was relieved, and in deep gratitude, he said, "I will give the clinic a goat." Of course, he was introduced to the great physician, the Lord Jesus Christ. This week, I'd like to follow up with this ministry of relieving the heavy burdens, financial burdens of our needy members. And as you know, our government has given about 2 million shares, but half of the number immediately applied for the cashing of the shares. I understand that those who rent HDB flats, one-room flats, get the most subsidy, 700 shares. And when the reporters ask them, "Why do you cash them so quickly?" the answer was, "We are heavily burdened with debt." So the money cash goes to paying off debts and buying the barest necessities of life in order to keep body and soul together.
and so on. But you don't feel the burden who are receiving a good regular salary. Nor I. But in my boyhood, I tasted what was abject poverty. I was about 9 or 10 years old in 1929, the year of the slump. We just call it slump and not Great Depression or Recession. These are euphemistic names. And it happened that my father's rubber estate was bought with a loan from a rich old tauke, $25,000. It was terrible when the slum came, our estate closed. You could not make a cent. And yet, to keep the old tauke happy, my father promised to pay him $100 a month, and I was a scapegoat, being sent as a boy to carry the money. That saves my father a lot of face. And to go and pay him, and he would sign it in a notebook. Receive $100, what day, what month. Whenever I went, I had to bring also a peace offering, a nice cake that my mother had made. And when I went to see him, and he was signing that he received the money, he would make a throaty note. And then I sheepishly had to bow and move away. That is how poverty is. We live with our grandfather in the church, and without paying house rent, that was a great boost to our economy. But my grandfather's salary was $30 a month. A junior clerk beginning to go to office start off with $45. So my grandfather could not help us grandchildren very much. We were always hungry. In the Japanese times, we were always hungry. And whenever you get an invitation to a feast, you thought you were going to heaven. That is how poverty is. And we should really thank God that we are well provided. Now, what to do? Is there any Bible teaching in such a situation? We just read the passage, Acts 4:32-35. And we have the persecution that was on, and I'm very sure many of the lower class lost their jobs. And they also had trouble in finding food. But the love of Christians between one another was so great that soon relief was found. The rich members sold their lands and the houses and brought the money and laid them at the feet of the apostles. And so everyone was taken care of. Now this is an emergency measure. Today we don't have to practice this. The best thing is each one will live in a house, each one will run a business. God believes in individualism. So we thank God that we have an example from the Bible, how we may also take care of the present situation among our members who are in need because of retrenchment. And we also thank God for the spiritually rich, not the rich, but the spiritually rich, how they contribute to our mercy ministry fund. And we have quite a lot of money. Thank God for your merciful consideration. Now, this mercy ministry fund was started to take care of the retrenched. But if you look at the Bible, everyone in need should be taken care of, whether retrenched or not. For example, the widows and orphans. And James, as a pure religion, is to visit the widows and orphans in their afflictions. Not only the retrenched, the widows and orphans, but those who might have a loss in business, such as someone who owns a retail shop in the HDB estate and not being able to compete with the superstores, he closes down his business. He is a small man, and we should consider him too. And then the sick members of our church. And though they're able to pay because they're in a relative good situation, a sum of money from the church given anonymously or given by the pastors after they know them and visit them, the left hand not knowing the right hand, would be very appropriate. And so there are all these that can be helped. And I'm saying that we should not delay, because those who have a financial burden owing to this or that, to sickness also, will be lifted up, if not materially so as much, but morally. We should hasten to help them. Now, the question is to say how. How shall we help them? Not by advertising, if you have need, you come and apply. This is a surest wrong psychology. When somebody comes to apply for money, he feels very small and very low. He is shy to reveal himself that he has a need. So it is important for us that the church will take the initiative. And the job is the pastors. Because they are in contact with members and they know better, and they should table their names to the church session, that is a committee of the church. And then they will allot and determine how much this one and that one. And through their hands, they would give to those in need anonymously, unobtrusively, that the honor and glory goes to the Lord and the benefit goes to his people. All glory to him. Now I'd like to tell you a story to illustrate the point. and don't say that I approve something that is wrong. It is a story of Santa Claus. And we don't believe in a Santa Claus that flies through the sky with the reindeers and a sledge. But because Santa Claus believed by the children who have their stockings filled by Christmas Day, and Santa Claus doesn't appear, and they are very happy, Santa Claus gave me the toys and so forth during the night and to fill the stockings. But Santa Claus actually is traced to Saint Nicholas. Santa Claus, Saint Nicholas, a philanthropist bishop who lived in the 4th century. There are many, many stories about him. He became the patron saint of the children, patron saint of all those who travel in the sea and so forth. But there is the most famous story about him. One day a nobleman suddenly lost his business and he became very poor. But he had three daughters of marriageable age. And in those days, to get married, they must have their dowry. Today, modern times, there may be the demand of dowry. Especially Indians demand the girl to pay the dowry. So, Saint Nicholas was very understanding. He prepared three bags of gold and he intended to give this anonymously to the three daughters. So he went to the house of the nobleman in the dead of night and found the three girls sleeping with the window open. He threw in the first bag for the first girl, the second bag to the second girl, and as he was going to throw the third bag to the youngest daughter, suddenly the nobleman appeared. And that spoiled his purpose. And so he begged the nobleman, please do not tell this out. Let it be secret between you and me. And so this is to illustrate the Santa Claus spirit, so-called. Please take note, don't tell people that I am for Santa Claus and that Santa Claus is real. That is not so. But we learn a moral lesson from this. Therefore, in order to practice the spirit of not letting the right hand knowing the left, we the pastors are those who must secretly dispense the gifts to needy members who are heavily burdened with their finance. But thank God, there seems to be so few who are retrenched in the church because God looks after us more than sparrows. And not only that, we have Thanksgiving items in our church bulletin in the back page, where the offerer, sometimes 5,000, 7,000 to the Lord. We want to thank God that my husband not only is not retrenched, but given a double promotion. So we must give thanks to God. Thank God for Life Church. As I said, we have very matured givers, and they know where to send, even widows and orphans, I see. Where the church has not acted, some individual has kindly put it down to so-and-so, and she is a widow. May the Lord therefore richly bless our givers. And you can never outgive God. If you do it cheerfully and with a heart of worship, He will reward you openly. I have learned one lesson. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And the Lord would want to test whether we are believing in His word. It is impossible to please God without faith. And he that cometh to God must believe that He is God. And He is a rewarder of them who diligently seek Him. There are certain things that cannot be just argued. But the truth is there and is planted in your heart, and the Lord who elects His very own will give them the logic of faith. Well, those of you this morning who attended Sunday school, you have a long lecture, and the whole thing is, when someone says God is nearly perfect in giving us the Bible, but there are variants and mistakes of copies. And they approached me, I wrote in the weekly, 7 Bible verses that attest to what a perfect God, omniscient God, omnipotent God will have for His Bible. And because they also say the Bible is perfect, but I said the Bible is 100% perfect. And I could not say anything less for the honor of my God. If God is so great, why He cannot give us a perfect Bible? Puny man trying to prove that this is a mistake and this is a copy's error. I don't want to say it. I leave it to God. Let Him judge in the day of judgment and tell us. But I will declare without compunction, without fear, and you can do nothing against the truth but for the truth. No matter how, if you are on the side of truth and you are exalting the truth, you are exalting your God, you can never go wrong. Well, this is just a little aside from my main sermon. But I need to declare this before I go, lest I be cowed, C-O-W-E-D. Lest I be frightened, I state what I've stated and that's all. A final word is that I must end up with blessing to those who contribute to the mercy ministry. With three Bible verses, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Matthew 5:7. Blessed is he that considereth the poor, the Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive, and he shall be blessed upon the earth, and thou wilt not deliver him unto the will of his enemies. Psalm 41:1-2. And finally, Psalm 37:26. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. May the Lord bless all the cheerful givers of this church to whatever righteous cause it is. That is a wonderful blessing. I know why you give, because you've experienced the joy of giving and the sweet result of giving. And God has blessed you further. It's not because I want money for the church. We thank God in our 52nd anniversary for 3 weeks. The money came in, amounting to $250,000. It's a joy to give to the Lord. And so those who give to the mercy ministry, I'm very sure the Lord has blessed you. Finally, I end by saying goodbye to you, because we are spending a month in Perth, 18th of November to 18th of December, but it is a working holiday for me, because Reverend Aaron Stone will be speaking to 4 churches in Malacca early December. So while he's here, I'll substitute for him there. And I would also be speaking at the BPCWA, the first church founded in 86 by my brother. And there we'll have good fellowship with all the church members. Now the church has grown to over 200 members. And so I need your prayers. Also, 1 month is not a short time. In these very momentous days and hours, we do not know what will happen. But the days are more and more pressing from all the news that you read every day. Please pray for us as we pray for you. Shalom.